Oh, yeah, don't sit down. Don't sit down yet. That song was full of joy. It was full of truth. There was scripture flying all over the place. I don't know if you could keep up with it or not, but that song was full of joy. Amen? Yeah, a little bit of you, some of you aren't sure. That's the cue for you to talk back to me. So, and don't worry, it's not going to get weird. I'm not going to ask you to jump a pew. We don't even have pews anywhere, so don't worry about that. But we're going to celebrate today. I want you to know this just happened at all four of our sites. So I just want to welcome everybody at our sites. And that means that we had people doing this. It was Kenny here. It was Garrett at Fenton. It was Lloyd at Grants Trail. It was Darnella at Mid Rivers. We've got everybody here online. I think in just a second, we're not ready yet, but I want you to talk back. Not to me, but to them. If you are a little gobsmacked by the talent and the devotion and the hard work that goes into all of this, if you right now, listen, it's been a year, okay? And we're here. Does anybody remember Christmas curbside last year? It was glorious, but it was heartbreaking. But we're here now. And so I want us to thank our kids' ministries who have been serving our children and families, our student ministries, which are helping kids to navigate really tough times, all of the groups and classes, our pastors that are doing all sorts of stuff, our operations people that are keeping this place moving, our guest experiences, which welcome you and help you to get in, our facilities people that keep this place looking beautiful, our musicians that have been working really hard, our singers, those courageous volunteer dancers, the video guys who put it all together. Listen, the camera, the lights, the sound, everybody who is doing this, if right now you are a little gobsmacked, if you're a little slack-jawed, a little stupefied, or maybe just plain grateful, I don't care how you do it. You could say amen, you could say hallelujah, you could clap, you could cheer, you can whistle, you could say yee-haw. If you're really joy impaired, just fold your arms and go boo. But for everybody else, would you please now thank these people? Good job. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're already having fun. I pray that now as we open your word that you will speak to us. Some of us, this is our first time here. Some of us, it's the first time in a long time, but I think a bunch of us are longing for you to remind us of some things. So please do that now. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Why don't you have a seat? I don't think I said this earlier, so Merry Christmas, all right? Merry Christmas. And there you go, that's it. So Merry Christmas, and we're going to now celebrate a night that reaches back like more than 2,000 years. There's a devoted man named Joseph. He was, in the Hebrew, you would have called him a tzaddik. This is a very devout man. And he's heading to Bethlehem, which is the place of his family's. It's kind of where they are from, because he's at the house and lineage of David, the great king of Israel. And he's being forced back there by the Roman Empire, which is wanting everyone in the land to register because Caesar wants more money. So he's going to pile another tax on top of him. Go figure. But he's got to now head back to his place. He's going with this woman who has pledged to be his wife. She's already pregnant. That's interesting. But what's really interesting about this detail is it's not his little boy. Now, there's a whole lot going on in the story that many of you will be familiar with, but there are miraculous goings on, and there are these angels, these messengers from God Almighty who keep breaking into the story, and there's one that tells both of them in separate occasions that the God Almighty, the creator of everything, he's the one that's going to arrange the arrival of this child in a once-and-forever sort of way, because this is a once-and-forever life that we're talking about. In fact, if I could get theological with you for a second, the one about to be born is the second person of the Trinity. This is the pre-existent one. This is the Son of the Most High God. He's going to step into the story, flesh and blood. This is the miracle of the incarnation. Now, Luke chapter 2, verse 6. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. We've gone over this part of the story. Meanwhile, an angel breaks into the three-dimensional reality of these shepherds that are outside of Bethlehem doing their job late one night, and the blinding glory, the Shekinah glory of God now envelops them. They're freaking out. The angel says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. Now, some of your translations, you'll remember the traditional one, and he is Christ the Lord. Christ is a Greek word. It's a Greek way of saying this Jewish term, Messiah. He is the promised King who will rescue us, who will free us. He is the Lord. Somehow this little one is God incarnate. Okay, we love rags to riches stories. This is the all-time riches to rags story. Philippians chapter 2 says that Jesus puts it all aside and humbles himself and steps into the story to be one of us, to rescue us. That's the story of Christmas. And these angels cannot contain themselves. We go from one angel to we don't know how many. It says a heavenly host. We don't know what that is. Thousands upon thousands? I don't know. It's difficult to imagine for me. But I want you to try. These supernatural beings, these messengers of the Most High God, these warriors of light that do battle with the forces of darkness in a spiritual realm. I know, but that's who they are. And now they're choir members. Because the sky is filled with them, and we hear these words, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. What I'm trying to tell you is that there's joy all over this story. And some of you are going, yeah, I know. It's all over my Christmas cards. It's all over everything. I just see it. It's in the decorations. Joy, joy, joy. We've already sung about joy. Joy to the world. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. One of our favorite songs around here is this, Oh Holy Night, and it just ends so powerfully. It's fall on your knees, oh hear the angel. It's this, and it's just this, we're gonna worship the King the way the angels do. The whole thing starts with the weary world rejoices. Why? Because a new and glorious morning has dawned. So joy's everywhere. But the truth is, we don't know what to do with joy. I was kidding some of you a second ago when I said, you know, if some of you are a little limited when it comes to joy, you get sort of stuck in this. I want us to be honest with each other now. We stay in touch in a lot of different ways, but one of them is through our app. So if you're one of these people that has been here with us for a while, you know how to get to your phone. You know how the app works. If you're saying, wait, I want to be a part of that. It's on the App Store. It's free. We're not going to hound you. There's no upgrade in there. We're not doing any of that. But if you want to, it's our way of connecting with a whole bunch of people. Now, when I say a whole bunch of people, I mean, we've got all these folks at each of our four sites, but I just want to say this. I'm really going to try to see if I can accomplish this. We do our metrics when it comes to our online folks, and we have people around the world who are joining us right now. Welcome to each of you. I'm just going to talk about the U.S., though. We have folks, you all join us from 47 of 50 states throughout the year. We have folks attend this church from 47 out of 50 states, which to me is humbling and amazing. But there's an obvious thing here, right? If you, somebody here knows people who live in Delaware, South Dakota, and Idaho. You ought to be texting them right now. We can complete this set by the end of the day, okay? But we're gonna do this app thing, and I'm gonna ask you a question. Here's the question. Like, what's your honest reaction to this joy business? You see, some of us, if we're gonna really put it on a continuum, some of us trend negatively. We're kind of like, we go that way. Some of us, you know, we make Buddy the Elf look like a slacker. I mean, we're way out there on the joy thing, okay? So we've got this joy thing, but there are things that help us with joy, and there are things that get in the way of joy. And I want us to be really honest with each other. So right now, if you would, just, it's okay in church, we do that. You can take out your phone. I mean, don't play Minecraft or anything, but just take out your phone and give us an answer on this. We want to know where you stand. But let me just help you with this definition for joy. Can we start there? Webster's puts it like this. Webster says that joy, I mean, you can read it. I'm not going to read it to you. But joy is essentially this emotion that is connected to success. It's connected to, hey, this happened to me. Hey, look at that. I got it. I got the thing I wanted. It's this intense sense of happiness. And y'all, I need you to hear, we want that kind of joy. We need that kind of joy. I am very much for that kind of joy. I mean, I hope you have that kind of joy this Christmas. Like, jump up and down joy. I don't know when the last time was for you. I'll tell you this. At Christmas, there were two different occasions where I gave a puppy to someone as a Christmas gift. Now, I know you're going, well, they shouldn't have put a surprise and you got to plan. No, it was all planned out. We kept those dogs. They were parts of our family for years, okay? So I just sort of upped the delivery date. We had talked about this and I had arranged and separated. It's a surprise. First time was when Robin and I were first married. Like, I think we'd been married for 2 years and we got our own little house and it was just awesome and we'd been talking about a dog. And I'm gonna tell you what, that Christmas, I gave her a golden retriever puppy. Oh yeah, that's right. Red velvet bow, put him in a little box, kept the lid off until she came into the room, put the lid on for like 10 seconds and goes, here, you better open this now. She opens the lid, she sees him, he squeals, she squeals, they both wet the carpet. It was a moment. It was a moment. It really was. But you know what it was? It was joy. It was joy. Years later, when our girls were at home, we gave them a puppy, same kind of a thing, walked around the corner, didn't have it in a box, walked around the corner, and they squealed, they yelled, they laughed. One of our girls, who shall remain nameless, was so overwhelmed with emotion as she's holding the dog. I've got it on my phone, and she's like, I don't even know why I'm crying, but I'm crying. You know what that is? It's joy. Gang, I hope for you, I don't know what it'll look like, but I hope for you that you experience a jumping up and down, I don't even know why I'm crying, somebody gave me a puppy for Christmas joy. But as great as that is, I need you to know there's more to it. There really is, there's more to it. What if that joy, whatever it is, whatever comes to mind for you right now, what if that, even that, was just a hint of a clue of what's to come, like what you're made for. See, I think the reason we sense this joy so deep in our bones is because we long for it, we were made for it, and we know there has to be more to the story. There has to be more to this. If you want to put a spiritual sort of angle on this, we begin to sense, God, please, please, is there more to the story? Do you have the story? And then we start to trust that, yeah, he's got me. And that's joy. Christmas, the story of Christmas is the story of a God who would not stop until the world he made is restored and the people he loves are rescued. And that's how you get the joy. It's the kind of joy that runs really deep in a soul. That's what changes everything. So, Larry, come on out here. I know you love being out here like this. So just come on out here and let's just see what, see, they even have a little X for me. That's my mark. I'm going to hit my mark. So we're going to just look here at what some of your answers. Sometimes. I guess that means sometimes there's joy, but it's difficult this time of year. It's contagious. Yeah, you know, when that is true. I often forget. I'm pretty overwhelmed these days. I want to come back to that, this idea that just the world just keeps crashing in on us. I love it, but I struggle to sustain it. I'm feeling joyful, but I'm curious about what to do with it. Oh, that's good. I'm going to give you a hint. We're going to worship like nobody's business at the end of this day. There's your answer. I have joy in my heart in spite of the storm. Wow. I wish I could have that type of joy today. I'm joyful, but I'm missing my husband this Christmas. But gang, these are just some of the answers, but I will just tell you, you know what this is? This is being honest. That's what this is. And for some of us, honestly, thank you, Larry, for some of us, I think right now what we should do is, I want to be practical with you. I know, I was thinking about that. I didn't say it that way yesterday, but I thought, if I say, we're going to be practical. Is anybody here thrilled about practical Christmas presents? Probably not. You are? Okay, good. I remember one year I went all practical. My mom gave me some money. I'd earned a little bit more with cutting some grass, and I went all practical. Grandpa got work socks. Grandma got like a toothpick holder. Mom got pot holders. It's just thrilling, thrilling gifts. My dad won the lottery. He got aftershave, if I remember, English leather. So it's just, I know, but I just want us to be practical for just a minute. Stay with me. For some of us, we don't know what to do with all of the things. This person that said, everything's coming in and it's overwhelming me. The first thing the angel said to those shepherds was what? Don't be afraid. Old-timey translations, fear not, fear not. Don't be afraid. Do you know it's the number one command in Scripture? Don't be afraid. It's the number one command. It's so interesting to me that it's that. I wonder how many of our conversations today, how much stuff that we're struggling with traces back to fear. I know. As soon as I say that, you're going, I'm not afraid, you're afraid. Let's use a different word. Anxiety. Anybody here anxious? Anybody here find a rumble that just you can't hardly shake sometimes? You think it's gone, whoa, there it is again. How is it that we are supposed to live with this? You see, that's not the goal. That's not what it is. The Bible says, 1 John 4:4 says that perfect love casts out fear. The love of God pushes fear away. There's a pastor named John Mark Comer. I think he says it really well. He reframes the whole spiritual journey, and he says, it's a decline in fear and a rising sense of confidence and trust in God. That's what we want. Less fear, more confidence in God. But how are we to do that in this world with everything coming at us? Oh, and wait, we do this to ourselves with the old doom scrolling thing. You guys know what doom scrolling is. It's just you're thumbing through your newsfeed or your social media and you just see bad thing after bad thing after bad thing. And if you stop and go down a rabbit hole, you're just getting more and more and more. Written about this like years ago, but combine that with a 24-hour news cycle that is designed to keep you anxious. Stir that up with social media algorithms, which are designed to keep you all cranked up. Throw in the last 2 years, Christmas, family coming over. Are we getting there? That's quite a stew. What are we supposed to do? Do you know we live in a broken world, and in this broken world, come up here and help me, Tim, for just a second. In this broken world, we are broken people, and our brains sometimes aren't helping us. There's a whole bunch of neuroscience that goes towards this, but let me just give you this much for a second. The theory is that if you go way back, like our ancestors were so concerned with noticing the threat that's all they paid attention to. There's a predator out there. There's an enemy out there with a big stick. And so we got really good at looking for the threats on the horizon, but we didn't spend a lot of time looking at the flowers or the cute thing that our kids were doing or that delicious piece of fruit, because I got something out here I got to watch. It's called negativity bias. Some of you have dialed that up a notch or two, I know. But what it really comes down to is this. There is this whole notion, honestly, if you look at it, there's a neuroscientist at UCal Berkeley that says, you know, we have these negative experiences and we have these positive experiences and they come at us all the time. But he says our brain processes them both differently. We hang on to them differently. So how about with like a positive experience? He says this is the way it is with a positive experience. Can you try that again? Yeah. He says, this is the way it is with a negative experience. Any questions? What Rick Hansen says is that when it comes to positive experiences and negative experiences, he said, when it comes to the positives, our brains are kind of like Teflon. When it comes to the negatives, it's like Velcro. There's a famous experiment by John Gottman at the University of Washington. Washington, not Washington. Wow. That's my background coming up. Man, I thought I had purged all of that out of there. University of Washington. His name is John Gottman. Here's what he found out. It takes 5 positive communications to counterbalance 1 negative one. You know what that means? That means you're having a pretty good day, or maybe it's just a neutral day. You're just having a cup of coffee. You're just doing your stuff. And you get 1 bad email. You get 1 bad interaction. You get 1 bad blowback. And it sticks to you like Velcro, and you obsess about it, and you cannot shake it. I heard that it takes 3 seconds for a negative memory to imprint in your brain. It takes 14 seconds for a positive one. Now, let's just go on ahead and say, some of you are like, I thought this was church, not brain science. What are we doing talking about this stuff? Well, first of all, this isn't about us just all thinking positively and can we be happy, clappy, feel-good people. We've gone over this. By the way, why wasn't I invited into the dance video? With a move like that, seriously. No, it's not that. I want you to understand that the science is catching up with the Bible. In Proverbs, it says, as a man or a woman thinks in themselves, so that's who they are. The Apostle Paul in Philippians says, whatever's true, think on these things. Jesus says, I am the truth. So what we want to do is intentionally, in the middle of a broken world with brains that will tend towards the negative, we are going to have to consciously, intentionally say, no, wait, I'm going to focus on the good. It doesn't mean we deny the bad. Please understand, it doesn't mean we deny the bad. We live honestly. But gang, I think we're doing a pretty good job of picking up on the yuck out there. The Velcro is still working. I'm saying in these next couple of days, what if you just stopped? It'll take longer than it will for the little ding that you have with a family member, because that's 3 seconds. You got that. But will you notice the good? Will you notice how God is blessing? And you will have to intentionally slow down. I don't know about you, but I've developed some bad habits over these last 2 years. I'm not perfect. Anybody else with me on that? Yeah, this is where you could speak back, but yeah. What we must do in these moments is to admit where we are, but to celebrate what God is still doing. What we need is good news. Anybody want more good news? Some of you are saying, Greg, please, I wish you would give us good news. Wish granted.
News broadcast. I'm your host, Brandon Crammell, and today I'm interviewing someone. What is your name?
Rylan Krept.
Avery, what's your name?
Layla.
What is your name, little fella? Next. What's your favorite Christmas present?
Beyblades.
Beyblades. Very popular. What's your favorite part about Christmas?
Good presents.
Probably last year a glowfish tank, but all my fish died, but it's okay. We still have one more left.
Four fish. Back to you, Bob. What does joy mean to you?
It means the feeling that God is watching you and you are always safe.
Wow, that is some big words, people. Does joy mean to you?
It means like when I'm dancing, I feel really happy, and that's just really good.
It's being there for people and being kind to everyone and really showing that you love them, just like Jesus does.
Just like Jesus does, people.
God sending Jesus to die on the cross.
Very wise for a kid his age. This is News Broadcast. See you later. Bye. Wish you Merry Christmas and thank you for watching.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Yep. Did he say back to you, Bob, at some point? Yeah. Listen, y'all just need to remember you were there. He's going to replace Fallon someday, so you were there. Good news. Let me just show you a couple more things, and then we're going to worship. Here's the thing. Good news, in those days, if there was exceedingly good news that happened in the Roman Empire, you would hire a messenger, a herald, he was sometimes called. Hark, the herald. It's a messenger. It's someone who proclaims, kind of sort of a preacher, but it's somebody who would come to the town square and announce the good news of a victory that had occurred, an enemy that had been defeated. They were no longer going to have to fear invasion. The other reason you would do this is if a king had been born. So you see what's happening? The angel is kind of doing something countercultural here and saying, I'm going to be the herald of really good news. There is a victory that has happened. There is a king. There is a Messiah. There is a savior that has been born. Now, some of you don't think you need a savior. Let's just call that out. I know. You're going to take the bet that maybe there isn't a God. And you're going to play that all the way out. I'm just saying those are pretty high stakes. Some of you are saying, there's a God, but I'm going to get to him, and I'm going to say, you know what? I took care of this myself. Gang, I'm well familiar with the I'm the boss of me syndrome. It creeps in. You're not the boss of me. I'm the boss of me. But I'm going to tell you what, if it never works out. What the angel says is there is a Savior, a Messiah, a King that is born. He came for us. He will do battle for us. He will free us. He will crush the head of evil. He is the one that will make things right between us and God. It's all coming together, all of the prophecies. Oh, yeah. And guys, he was born tonight in Bethlehem. This is such good news if it's true. Now, if it's not true, it's a waste of time. But if it's true, oh, turns out that they discovered that it is true and it's everything that they had hoped for. How do the shepherds know that it was true? They went and saw for themselves. Next verse, when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Listen to me. There is a joy from making the next step on your journey and beginning to discover, wait, this God is for real. I'm not saying to keep your questions at the door. I'm not saying that you don't get to bring your doubts. In fact, bring them. It's how you'll make progress. I'm saying that as you do this, you'll begin to see God moving in close, and he'll help you with this. For instance, I already said the supernatural is all over this story, and some of you, that's where you check out. It's like, well, I don't can't believe this stuff. Supernatural, come on. That's a mystery. How are you going to explain that? I can't. But I would suggest to you that there are other things in this universe that we can't explain, that science gets to the edge of itself on and can't explain. There's a writer by the name of Christian Wiman who says that we live in a world of multiverses and quantum weirdness where 95% of matter and energy we know only to name as dark. So all that stuff that's out in the universe, we don't know what it is, we just call it dark matter. It is obvious that reality extends far beyond what our senses can perceive. He goes on to rightly ask, what in the world or what beyond the world is calling to us? Listen to me, I'm admitting to you, I can't explain it all. But I think there's enough evidence to suggest that God exists. Now we should talk about this. We'll help you. We love these conversations. Bring your doubts, bring your questions, bring your concerns, bring your longings, bring that hope that you have that maybe there is more to all of this. All I'm saying to you is I think you've been invited by God. I think he's calling you. There's a scientist at MIT. She's a professor. She's the head of one of the departments there at MIT in Boston. And her name is Rosalind Picard. And Dr. Picard, her resume is impressive. Let's just say that. So she's one of these people she's a computer scientist. She is an engineer. She has, I just got to read this because I won't get it right. She's a noted researcher and an inventor whose work in artificial intelligence now has led to breakthroughs in helping people with seizure disorders. She's the one who figured out how to come together with and to write the code and to get to a place where you can type in what you want, a picture you want to see of a smiling baby on a sailboat. She's the one that essentially created the search for digital images. This is a really smart woman. She is now completely and heavily involved in robotic intelligence. Robotic intelligence. That sounds scary to me. I want to tell her to just tap the brakes a little. But she is a very smart woman. Also, by the way, a Christ follower, an outspoken follower of Jesus. Now, she didn't used to be that way. She used to be an outspoken atheist. In fact, when she was growing up and she was the top of her class, whatever class she was in, she prided herself in her atheism. She would participate in debates and vocally try to convince people there is no God and you are some kind of ignoramus if you think there is a God. But then she bumped into these neighbors of hers that were really sweet people. I love stories about neighbors. And these neighbors, he's a doctor and his wife, and they invite her to their church, and they give her a Bible to read, and they even tell her where to start reading. Start here in your Bible. She starts to see how practical it is, and it starts to, stir things up. So now she gets a Bible of her own. She reads it all the way through a couple of times. She's completely enamored with this Jesus and the story and what is going on here. She said, but I'm a scientist, so I have to conduct an experiment now. So I make sure and investigate now all of the world religions. But I come back to this Jesus, and she's at another church with another friend who invited her to come. And the pastor that day said, you're gonna have to get to a point where you kind of let go of essentially you being the boss of you, and you will have to let him, this Jesus, be the Lord of your life. And on that day, she turned her life over to this Jesus. She writes these words. I once thought I was too smart to believe in God, Now I know I was an arrogant fool who snubbed the greatest mind in the cosmos, the author of all science, mathematics, art, and everything else there is to know. Today, I walk humbly, having received the most undeserved grace. I walk with joy alongside the most amazing companion anyone could ask for, filled with desire to keep learning and exploring. If you think you are beyond reach or have too many questions, think again. I think God invited you here for a reason. Some of you are like, no, I came because my dad made me come. I'm just here because I lost a bet with my friend. You have no idea how I stumbled onto this online. You can't say that. I'm just telling you, I think God was involved, and he's inviting you to take just the next step. And I think if you'll take just the next step, even if you don't fully believe yet, and you say something like, God, if you're there, you're going to have to meet me in that step. I think you will be incredibly encouraged by how he will do just that. Well, where do I start? Come back on the 26th. Now, when I say come back, I don't mean here. We will not be here. We will not be at any of our buildings on the 26th, Sunday, right after Christmas. But come join us online. Like, we've already recorded something. It's a beautiful setting. The music is incredible. I had a chance to just talk with people and to open God's word, and we just had some conversations. But this stuff is so good, the music is so good, you're going to think they're lip syncing. But I say join us on Sunday morning in your jammies, blueberry pancakes. Let's do this together. It'll be the next step. And we can experience this together. You're going to want to be there. That's just the next step. How about after that? Well, join us for the January series, which, interestingly enough, starts in January. And for 4 weeks, we're just going to set the table for the winter and the spring to come and give you all sorts of ideas of how to stay connected. If you're somebody who shows up here with somebody on a regular basis and you are like, you know what you do? Be honest with them about where you are. I'm stuck. I'm curious. I'm bored. I'm angry. I've got questions. Just start. Because what we do is we do this together. You see, I think we do this better if we do this together. What does it say in the scripture? The shepherds looked at each other and said, let us go to Bethlehem and see if this is true. It's just so much better if we do this together. We've got so many ways that we try to connect people around here, and we do it online, and we do it with the app, and we ask you to talk to each other, and I ask you to talk to me. And when the worship leaders are up here, they'll read something, and they'll say, then you do this, or we'll sing something, and then you sing that, because we want to do this together. I remember a few weeks ago, we had a song, it starts off with, do you feel the world is broken? And then the next response was everyone in the room. It was sort of a really quiet response, but it was, we do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? And then everyone, we do. It's us doing this together. It's honesty and it's hope at the same time. I want you to understand, if we experience joy this year, it will not be denial. We are going to say out loud that this isn't as it should be, not yet. But we are going to cling to the Jesus who is making things right. That's Christian hope. That's the story of Christmas. It's the promise of Bethlehem. It's the rest of the New Testament. And it's the last book of the Bible. Now, we just finished an epic series studying Revelation. Some of you were here for that. It was a bit of a ride for me. I don't know what it was like for you, but it was a bit of a ride, and we learned some things. And I will just say this to you. In the middle of a cosmic vision that you can't even hardly explain, the Apostle John sees something, and the curtain is pulled back, and he sees what's going on in the heavenlies. And it's a crazy vision, I know, but he hears a mighty angel who says, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? And if you were with us, you'll remember that this scroll is sort of a symbol of God's plan to finish things out, how he's going to complete history and make things right once and for all, how he's going to deal with this broken world. Who is worthy of that? The question really is, who thinks that they can take this seal, this scroll, and break the seal and open it? Who would dare take this from the hand of God the Father Almighty without being crushed under the weight of it all? And John says, at first, there was no one. There was no one. So there's like this pause, and John, no wonder, John says, I wept and wept. But gang, I want you to hear me. You want to know why there's little joy in the world? Because people are looking around and saying, who is going to fix this mess? Who's going to bring this together? How does this end? And if you look around and expect another person or another group of persons to pull this off, we're going to be left with despair, with hopelessness, with a whole bunch of grumpiness. That's what so much of the world is experiencing. But then this, there is someone who says to John, wait a minute, weep no more, because we read these words, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. These are words and titles for Jesus. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Root of David. What does that mean? It means he comes from David's family, but he was even before David, however that could work. He is all of that, and he is worthy. He's the one that can open the scroll. He's the one that has the authority. He's the one that's going to take this to its end. He is the one who gets the last word. This baby born in Bethlehem does not stay a baby. He is the triumphant king of all, and that's where our joy comes from. Don't even get me started on Jesus. Wonderful counselor, almighty God. He is the Holy One of Israel, the Son of Righteousness, the chief cornerstone. He's the resurrection and the life. He is the Lamb of God and the Son of God and the Son of Man and the Lord of all. He's the beginning and the end, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I am banking everything on Jesus getting the last word. That's why the angels came unhinged. That's why the shepherds celebrated. And now it's our turn. Now it's our turn. What did we read at the beginning? Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. King, I want you to understand, his favor rests on us not because of anything we did, because some of us are willing to say, I need your help, and we have turned to this Jesus and accepted what he's done for us. And that's how joy is no longer just a theory, and it's no longer a word. It's something that stands up to the realities of our life. And actually, some of us believe that this Jesus is worth trusting and following and worshiping. Even, like, this is a word for some of us that we would have difficulty with, adoring. Like, we love him that much. Could we sing that Christmas hymn that we sang earlier? But we're going to slow it down, taking all of the extra out of it, because I think this is that moment where, you're not talking back to me, but we do this together, and let's hear the church sing. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, oh, come ye. Come on, church, let's sing this out. Amen. Come and behold him, born the King of Israel. All right, harmonies, where are you? Let's do this. Amen. Yes. Feel it? Did you hear it? Did you sense it? Some of you, joy. Did you catch it? I mean, joy is such a mysterious, curious thing. But we're going to keep pursuing it intentionally around here. In this world that is not yet healed, we are going to vow that we will keep pursuing the joy that God has laid before us, that we are going to trust that he's got this thing. May we now, in the coming days, maybe even let it leak over into 2022, may we be a people who actually pause long enough to notice the good gifts that God has given to us in the midst of whatever we're facing. May we, Teflon-brained people, have hearts made of Velcro for the right things, for grace, for laughter, for the unpredictability of children, for the steadfast love of a spouse, or the patience of a long, long-lasting friendship. The goodness of noticing beauty and knowing that you were a part of something bigger than yourself. The honor for me to serve with a staff it's an honor. To be a part of a church that is resilient and honest and outrageously generous. The hope that does not disappoint, the gift of forgiveness. These are the things we'll remember. The promise that God is not finished. The love that would motivate the King of Glory to come for us. This leads to joy. This makes it more than a word. And this Jesus, I'm telling you, he changes everything. So one more time, Merry Christmas. In the face of the good and the great and the ugly and the frightening and the incomplete and unfinished and exciting world in which we live, let's chase after this Jesus who changes everything. Because I'm telling you, the King really is here.